Welcome to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If this is your first time listening, hello and welcome. We value your time and energy and hope you receive a lot from tuning in. As a listener-supported show, we rely on you to help us grow. We'd be so grateful if you share the show or a favorite episode with a friend or fellow health seeker. Living a healthy and nourishing life doesn't always come easily, especially in today's crazy world. But that's why we're here, doing what we love, hopefully helping you along with information and inspiration that fuels your health pursuits. If you're looking for more support, consider subscribing to the monthly meal guide membership. Just $11 per month gets you access to a weekly meal guide filled with healing and delicious whole food plant-based recipes, along with invitations to our regularly scheduled support calls where we can connect, answer questions, and keep the good vibes flowing in our healthy lives. You can learn more at www.alter.health/meal-guides. And if you're looking for more in-depth support, check out our other services. We offer both one-on-one consulting as well as educational programs. All of our current offerings are listed at www.alter.health. Our ultimate goal is to empower you to heal yourself. Keeping with that theme, let's dive into today's show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Alter Your Health podcast, your source of information and inspiration to promote the holistic transformation of your health and the health of our planet. I'm your host, Dr. Benjamin Alter.
I'm your co-host, Dr. Susanna Alter.
And we're doing this again. Oh my gosh, we just had this podcast. We just recorded this podcast here live on Facebook. And for some reason, I didn't like press the on button of my microphone, yet it was connected. So anyways, there was no audio, which would lead to no podcast. So we're going to go through this again. This conversation on SIBO, on gut health, what the heck it is, what the heck is really going on, and how to actually really address the root of the issue. So if you don't know what SIBO is, let's just explain it real quick. SIBO stands for small intestinal, the small intestines, bacterial overgrowth. And the term that I like to use instead of that, instead of SIBO, is dysbiosis, which really speaks more accurately to what's going on. It's not necessarily the overgrowth of one organism or the other. It's just a dysregulated environment in the small intestines and maybe the large intestines. And addressing that is unique and individualized and something that we're going to talk about in this conversation. But I want to reiterate one thing, that SIBO is not a diagnosis. Symptoms of SIBO include gas and bloating, diarrhea, constipation, these kind of things. And a lot of people have SIBO even without gut health issues. SIBO might be an underlying kind of disease process that is going on with people who have migraine headaches or arthritis or autoimmune conditions of any sort. So this is a big conversation. And if you were to visit any functional or naturopathic medical doctor, chances are they would maybe consider testing for and diagnosing SIBO. So it's definitely a popular thing, and that's why we're talking about it today. And I've been talking a lot, and Susanna's been nodding her head a lot. So how do you want to take this conversation, since it's our second time doing it?
Yeah. Well, so Ben and I, we learned about SIBO in depth through our own clinical experience on a GI-specific shift at our teaching clinic at our alma mater, the Natural University of Natural Medicine. And this GI shift is actually more of a SIBO shift. Most patients that would come onto this shift had GI symptoms, and they were given a SIBO test, and it was usually positive. And so they were given the diagnosis of SIBO and given the treatment of SIBO, which patients have a few different routes of treating SIBO. One is by taking an antibiotic followed by a SIBO-specific diet, and that is a diet that's lower in high-fiber foods. Or they can do an herbal antibiotic protocol followed by a SIBO-specific diet. Then there's also something called an elemental diet, which is like
essentially just like a fast.
Yeah, it's like
to kind of reset the microbiome.
Exactly.
And we should, fun fact that SIBO, as far as I know, was invented at the National College of Natural Medicine, now the National University of Natural Medicine. That's where all SIBO breath tests are sent to be tested, which is the way that SIBO is, you know, quote unquote diagnosed, even though it's just a laboratory finding. Just like high cholesterol is a laboratory finding, high cholesterol is, you know, signifies some underlying process, right? There's a reason why we have high cholesterol floating around in the blood. There's a reason why we've got dysbiosis in the gut.
But one of the reasons why Ben and I never really took to SIBO is because we continued to see a lot of patients come back on this shift. You know, they might feel better for a month or two, but eventually their symptoms would come back and we would retest them and their SIBO would be back. And so it didn't seem like there is a sustainable way to reduce these symptoms in these people's lives.
Not only that, but people who are placed on the SIBO diet, it's an extremely restrictive diet. And people are on it for months, and people develop a lot of anxiety around, you know, strain from this SIBO specific diet or standard, or what is it? Yes, that's low FODMAP diet, you know, type of diet. So, you know, in the process of attempting to treat SIBO, the condition doesn't go anywhere. Meanwhile, all these other kind of issues arise. So we were really uninspired and pretty much just like kind of let down by what our naturopathic, you know, teachings and understanding had to offer to treat this condition. Up until more recently, as we've broadened our understanding, geeked out as we do, and we're going to share with you kind of what we know of, you know, this quote-unquote SIBO, which quite frankly, I don't even like saying SIBO. I like I said, much prefer to use the word dysbiosis, but I don't even like saying that. You know, we're not focusing on the conditions. We like to look through that, past that, deeper than that, to look and know the underlying conditions, the underlying imbalances that we can, you know, tweak at the roots, which, you know, every holistic naturopathic functional medicine doctor is going to tell you that they're aiming to treat the root cause of the condition. But what that really means is depends on that person's, you know, understanding in that moment. You know, someone who's treating cholesterol, you know, high cholesterol, hypercholesterolemia, and you know, cardiovascular disease, prescribing a statin to reduce cholesterol floating around in the blood, they could say that they're treating the root cause of the issue, and that just does, that just goes to show that they don't really know what the issue is. So anyways,
our experience in the teaching clinic, I think it's made me more curious as to see, like, okay, what else is going on here? There's got to be some other cause going on. And recently, Ben and I have been geeking out on a couple topics, and they've been the topics of our last few podcasts. So glyphosate and GMO has been something we've been researching a lot, and that has led us to mineral deficiency, which is linked with glyphosate exposure. So we geeked out on that last week. And this week we've been geeking out on the gut effects of glyphosate exposure. And so we've been learning a lot from two experts specifically. One of them is a naturopathic doctor in Portland named Dr. Greg Nye. And he's been kind of specializing in SIBO through a lens of sulfur metabolism. And I'll get into that in a second.
He was, by the way, he was a guest on the Alter Your Health podcast, I believe, back when.
And the other expert is a researcher named Dr. Stephanie Seneff, and she's been huge in the whole area of GMO and glyphosate research and glyphosate impact on human health. Right. So what they've kind of come to through working together is this understanding of how when humans are exposed to glyphosate in the environment through food or through water, whatever it is, the glyphosate in the body actually impedes the body's ability to convert sulfur that we take in from our food into sulfide, which is
sulfate,
which is a crucial molecule for our body in so many ways.
So sulfur goes, you know, enzymatically into sulfate through these sulfation enzymes, these oxidative enzymes that turn sulfur into sulfate that require a cofactor of molybdenum. And maybe you haven't heard of molybdenum because it's a trace mineral that exists in your body in like very small proportions relative to the other minerals like magnesium and zinc and all these other things. But molybdenum, like all other minerals, is chelated due to glyphosate in the soil and our bodies. So if we, you know, if we don't have access to that trace mineral in our body, we aren't able to carry out these sulfation pathways, which are critical not only for detoxification and the production of glutathione in the liver, but also, you know, the production of heparin sulfate, which lines every single surface of the inside of the human body, which allows for that's really a deep conversation, but essentially allows for, you know, fluid blood flow and, you know, in the vascular system and lymphatic system. Mm-hmm. Sulfate.
So when there's a deficiency of sulfate in the body, they've found that the body upregulates sulfate fixing bacteria in the gut.
Yeah, so we should take a couple steps back just briefly and say that SIBO is diagnosed either as hydrogen producing bacteria or methane producing bacteria. Those are the two classifications of SIBO. And we need to know that those are not the only type of bacteria that exist in our gut. We also have hydrogen sulfide producing bacteria, as is the case here, but those kind of bacteria aren't able to be found on a SIBO breath test. Mm-hmm. But they do exist, and I'm sure that there are other gas-forming bacteria in the gut. And we should, you know, say also that the consequence of these gas-forming bacteria are bloating. When we have gas, we have bloating. And when we have bloating, we might have abdominal pain, we might have consequential diarrhea or constipation. So it's very unique, but it stems down to the bacteria that are producing these gases in the gut.
Mm-hmm. And what also happens when we have excess hydrogen sulfide producing bacteria in the gut is that we develop also kind of a sulfur sensitivity. And the way that it's described to us is that there's almost like this bottlenecking of sulfur that's happening in the body because we're not able to convert sulfur into sulfate. And that backup of sulfur can create some other uncomfortable symptoms, you know, even not in the digestive system. You might have flushing in your face. You might have brain fog or migraines. It's linked with many other symptoms outside of the digestive system.
Correct. Should we dive into like fixing this problem? Are we there yet?
Cool. We are there.
So, you know, we kind of talked about, which is antibiotics, either herbally or pharmaceutically, and then a low fiber, low FODMAP diet that doesn't, the aim of which is to deprive the bacteria in our gut from producing these, deprive them, and thereby they're, you know, as a result, killing them. And, you know, the intention of repopulating and recreating a healthy, harmonious ecosystem in the gut, which sounds good, sounds great. But if we consider that, like you were saying, Susanna, SIBO, like pretty much every other condition, is an adaptive process that the body is carrying out to try to resolve an underlying imbalance, then we have to look at the underlying imbalance. Otherwise, the condition and the symptoms are just going to come back or they're not going to ever heal. So if we approach this, you know, focusing on the sulfur aspect of the issue, and we restrict or eliminate or, you know, at least control the amount of sulfur we're consuming in our diet, that's a great place to start. And we only need to do this for a week or two or three, depending on individual cases. But when we do that, we allow for this bottlenecking effect to kind of loosen up. And while we're also restricting sulfur intake, we are supplementing with trace minerals, including molybdenum, which, you know, expedite and turn on these sulfation enzymes. Mm-hmm. So the sulfur-containing foods that are important to eliminate are meat, dairy, and eggs are the foods that are highest in sulfur. We know that. And then the plant foods are actually garlic and onions, and then the cruciferous vegetables. Mm-hmm. It's like kale, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, those sort of things.
Yeah. Kind of taking away the insult to the body. The real treatment is supporting our sulfation pathways. And what Ben was saying is that increasing our level of molybdenum is really, really important, because that's that cofactor that turns on that enzymatic process. And so when we restore molybdenum, then we're able to produce the sulfate on our own. And
meanwhile, we also need to focus on the detoxification of the glyphosate and other environmental toxins that are at the root cause of this kind of throwing things out of balance. So our favorite ways of detoxifying the body are certainly eating clean organic food, making sure that we're drinking clean purified water, which are, you know, ways that toxins often come into our body, but also going into an infrared sauna that allows these toxins to be released and sweat out through the skin, as well as
enemas,
coffee enemas, thank you, that you know, irrigate the colon kind of and eliminate any stuff that's backed up in there, as well as providing a source of raw materials to produce glutathione in the liver and cleansing the liver directly. So coffee enemas are a hidden secret for detoxification for sure. And then we should say also that a great source of sulfate to get into the body, because there's this issue of too much sulfur, not enough sulfate. So we can get sulfate directly into the body in the form of magnesium sulfate through an Epsom salt bath. So Epsom salt is magnesium sulfate. When we lay in a hot bathtub with Epsom salts, that magnesium and that sulfate comes through the skin, and you know, sulfate that is needed everywhere in the body.
Mm-hmm. Without reacting in the gut.
Right.
Yes. And so additionally, what Dr. Greg and I will sometimes recommend for his patients that are really experiencing a lot of bloating and GI discomfort are additional nutrients and herbs that help manage symptoms while they're really addressing the underlying cause. And some of those supplements that can really help are demulcent herbs, which just soothe the gut and support healing and lower inflammation. Bismuth, which is actually the active ingredient in Pepto-Bismol, but there's other more natural sources of bismuth. And bismuth actually reduces the hydrogen sulfide from the body. So that's really great to bring in. And then the other thing is butyrate, which is a short-chain fatty acid that actually our colonic bacteria makes on its own when we eat fiber and they digest fiber. They create butyrate, which is like the most healing food for the gut lining. But if people have been dealing with SIBO for a while and they've also probably been on low fiber diets, they might actually need just a little bit more butyrate in the form of a supplement.
Yeah. And then, you know, the key in this all is what we're talking about here is, like we said, is a course of a couple weeks to maybe a month or so. And then the key is reintroduction of foods in a healthy, mindful, gentle way, getting back to your colorful and diverse plant-based diet with higher levels of fiber, not going gung-ho into the beans and hummus and all the foods that might cause bloating, but really just being gentle and methodical and really, you know, taking it easy. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we've sort of restrictive diets for long periods of time and develop a lot of anxiety and worry and fear about eating the wrong foods that might cause upset. And, you know, have this really rigid way of thinking and approaching eating. So, you know, we also encourage you to kind of loosen up and let that, you know, stress rest, let it go, and allow more peaceful states of mind, more peaceful thoughts to accompany you as you ingest your nutritious healing food.
Yeah. Also, you know, just to say too, we've kind of covered, you know, pretty extensive kind of protocol here. It's always a good idea to talk with a healthcare professional before you undergo any of this stuff.
I'm sure there's a lot of DIY healers out there, and we're all for that. Absolutely. I always say, like, my vision is a world where we don't need these health experts and doctors, where we can really embody that information and use that information ourselves. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I think that a lot of people benefit from having some professional support, because everyone is so unique in this sense. You know, everyone's got unique levels of glyphosate and other toxins. Everyone's got unique microbiomes. And really addressing that individualized uniqueness of you, I believe, is really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, this protocol, although it's helped many, many, many people, may not...
Whoops. I kicked the table and we went down. We're back.
It may not be what your body needs, you know? So yeah. It's always good to talk with someone to figure out if, you know, it is right for you.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, back to the good stuff.
So that almost does it, right? Like,
yeah.
we pretty much healed SIBO right there.
This approach also is because of hearing like what Dr. Greg Nye's experience has been in his clinic. He has seen so many people come to him with SIBO and other GI issues that have tried just about everything under the sun to no avail. And then he expresses how he's just amazed at how many people feel so much better after even just a week of this low sulfur metabolism supporting protocol. And it makes a lot of sense in my head, you know, why they would feel better. So I'm pretty excited by it.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, if any of you out there have any specific questions, comments, feedback, we'd love to hear it. You can leave. You know, certainly we forgot to let you know that, you know, if you're listening to this recording, whether it's on YouTube or iTunes or, you know, Spotify, wherever, you can subscribe and leave a rating and review. And you can also, you know, send us an email if you'd like at info@alter.health. And we'd love to know what you think, what's worked for you. Have you tried any of this kind of stuff? And would you like to have additional support and resources? We do offer, of course, you know, you should know by now that we work with people individualized one-on-one, as well as we offer our group coaching program, which can be a great place for people to get this level of information and interaction. And we're talking about things like this, like nitty-gritty science, but also we can't emphasize enough the importance of your mental health through this all, because, you know, I'll never forget one of the first patients I saw who was being treated for SIBO, and she was following her diet, like, you know, strictly. She was the most compliant patient I had ever seen in my life. And when she walked in, she carried with her this level of stress and tension that there was going to be no diet, sulfur, low sulfur, you know, molybdenum, organic, coffee enema. There was going to be no intervention that would really allow this individual to heal. She needed, as well as the physical, you know, nutritional healing protocol, she needed to address the stress and tension that she was carrying. And I think the same can be said for everyone to some degree. Maybe not everyone has that level of tension that's palpable, but I think we all, as we, you know, move along this healing path, I think a lot of people can get discouraged, can get overwhelmed, can, you know, ruminate in these thoughts. So anyways, I don't want to go on and on too much, but I just want to reiterate and hammer in, if you haven't heard me, that your mental health matters as well throughout this. Because what's the point of being healthy if we're not at peace? Yeah. I don't even think it's possible. Is it possible to be at healthy but not at peace? Be healthy without being at peace. I don't know. It's a good thing to ponder. Mm-hmm. What comes first, peace or health? Mm. I don't know. Anyway, this was our second time, conducting this conversation. I think we were a little slimmer and more to the point.
We said it in half the time.
No, not quite half the time, but we, we got to the point, and hopefully this was a meaningful conversation for you guys out there. If you'd like to learn more, you know where to find us, www.alter.health. This is episode number 85 of the podcast, which means there's a whole lot of other content that we'd love to share with you guys. You can find it at alter.health. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
Oh, it's interesting to you and you want to learn more about what we're kind of been referring to, definitely check out our last two podcasts.
Episode 81 on glyphosate and GMOs. Episode 83 on trace minerals and soil-based mineral supplementation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good, strong. All right.
Not as strong as this one.
Not as strong as this one.
So thanks for hanging with us. We look forward to seeing you guys next week on Alter Your Health Live. If you're listening to the recording, by the way, we are live on Instagram at alter.health and on Facebook, which is at Alter Health Inc. INC. So see you live if you want to join in on the conversation live. And peace and love until next time.